Please remember this verse to all people who tell you there's only a gate. That means once you enter in, you don't have to bother. I've accepted Christ 25 years ago and then I don't have to bother. But see what it says in Hebrews chapter 3. Have you got Hebrews chapter 3? Verse 14. We have become partakers of Christ if, and that if is a capital IF, if we hold fast the beginning of our assurance, that is the gate, until the end, which is the finishing line. That is where life comes. So the beginning of our assurance is entering through the gate, holding fast, holding fast till the end is walking the way, and the end is where we possess his life. So, is that verse correct or not? It is just saying the same thing that Jesus said. A gate leads to a way, and thus that leads to life. So, therefore it says, it's very easy, the previous verse, Hebrews 3:13, encourage one another every day, as long as it is called today, because it's very easy to be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. And then he gives an example. Think of all those people, verse 16, who came out of Egypt. We can say they entered through the gate. But they did not go through the way. And so in 40 years, they all perished in the wilderness. Nobody entered the land of Canaan. That is a warning given in the context of verse 14, that we must persevere till the end. And so to them the Lord swore in verse 18, they will not enter into his rest because they were disobedient after coming out of Egypt. Coming out of Egypt is a picture of trusting Christ. It says they were baptized in the Red Sea, the picture of water baptism, and still they perished. So it says in chapter 4, verse 1, let us fear. After a promise given to us of entering his rest, some of you may come short of it. Why do you come short of it? Because you don't listen to the good news properly, as it says in verse 2. So, let's get back to Matthew 5, 6, and 7. Matthew chapter 5, 6, and 7 is the way. The gate is when you repent and receive Christ as your Savior. That is the gate. What you read in Matthew 5, 6, and 7 is the way. And Jesus said, we should not think, oh, why hasn't Jesus made it easy for us to just accept Christ and live as you like? Most Christians in the world, even those who say they are born again, their gospel is, you accept Christ once and live as you like, and just keep on asking God to forgive you. You sin, ask God to forgive you. You sin, ask God to forgive you. That's how I lived for so many years in my life. I was deceived. It was like going round and round and round and round. Like I asked somebody once, how do you live your Christian life? He says, Jesus is my Savior. I say, what has he saved you from? Has he saved you from getting angry? No. Has he saved you from the love of money? No. Has he saved you from an unforgiving spirit? No. Then what happens? Has he saved you from lusting with your eyes? No. Then what do? I sin and I ask him to forgive me and he forgives me. Ah. I told him, then call Jesus by the right name. He's your forgiver, not your savior. Because he saved you from nothing. Tell me the sin he has saved you from. He has not saved you from lusting with the eyes. He's not saved you from anger. He's not saved you from grumbling and complaining at home. But he's forgiving you. He's forgiving you. Then call him by his right name. Jesus is my forgiver. He's not my savior because he has not saved me from anything. But the Bible says Jesus came to save us from our sin. Please turn to the first promise in the New Testament. Matthew 1:21. I don't know whether you know that. As soon as you finish the Old Testament and turn to page 1 of the New Testament, you're hit there in your face with one promise. Strikes you there. And you know, I read the Bible for 16 years before I saw this promise. Why is it? Was I blind? No. But it did not strike me. And I think it has not struck many of you. I think if I had not mentioned it, if you had not heard it in any of my other sermons, and if I had asked you the question, which is the first promise in the New Testament, I don't think any of you would have had the answer. Because we don't read carefully. The first promise in the New Testament is Matthew 1:21. Jesus will not forgive. He will save his people from their sins. That means if they've fallen into a pit in disobedience, he will not only forgive them for falling into the pit, he will save them out of the pit. Do you know that forgiveness of sins is an Old Testament gospel? Turn with me to Psalm 103. We looked at that before as well, but it's good to repeat it. Psalm 103. What are the blessings in the Old Testament where the leader was Moses? If Moses was your leader and you're living under the Old Testament, here are some of the blessings we read here. Psalm 103 verse 2. Don't forget any of the benefits of the Lord. Bless the Lord and don't forget any of his benefits. What are the benefits? Number one, who forgives all your sins. Number one. That's not New Testament, that's Old Testament. Who pardons all, A-L-L, all your sins. Number two, who heals all your diseases. Number three, who saves you from the pit of hell. So what is the Old Testament gospel? Forgiveness of all your sins, healing of all your diseases, and being saved from hell. Now you come to the New Testament, and it says it is not that. It's more than that. It is, you will be now saved, Matthew 1:21, from your sins. Now, do you think the devil wants you to know that? No. The devil wants you to be defeated, defeated, defeated all your life of 40 years. You're a Christian and you'll be defeated all 40 years and thinking, I'm going to go to heaven. A lot of people who listen to that gospel finally wake up in hell and will curse the preachers and pastors who deceived them. But they need not have been deceived. They had a Bible. They could have read it. I tell people, if you know English and you've got a Bible with you and you don't read it, you don't study it carefully, then you deserve to be deceived. That's a strong word, but I have to say it. Let me repeat it. If you know English and you've got an English Bible with you and you don't read and study it, you deserve to be deceived by all these false preachers. How is it that most Christians have never read the very first promise on the very first page of the first gospel in the New Testament? Have you noticed it yourself? That Jesus, he's called Savior, means he come to save us from our sin. So, don't be satisfied with forgiveness. Jesus is a Savior, not just a forgiver. Let's keep that in mind and read. And you know, all the things that we are warned about in Matthew 5, 6, and 7 are things that are sinful. You know, to lust after a woman, it's sinful. To get angry with somebody, it is sinful. To tell a lie, it is sinful. To hate somebody, it's sinful. To have a grudge against somebody, it's sinful. To pray in order to get honor from others, what a great prayer you pray. That is sinful. When you give money, you want other people to know that you gave money. That is sinful, seeking honor. All the things mentioned here are sinful. And Jesus came to save us from all these sins. Hating people, that's a terrible sin. Jesus came to save us from it and to make us love them who hate us.